Welcome to the weekly podcast from Gorebridge Parish Church. For more teaching or to find out more about life at Gorebridge Parish Church, please visit our website, gorepc.com.
So we continue our voyage through Romans. Just a wee recap. When we're looking at Romans 10, we're reminded that just like Jairus, whose daughter was dying of a fever, just like the woman with the problem with bleeding we read about in Mark 5, somebody had to tell them. And here's the picture above the Kelvin Hall back in the 50s of the Tell Scotland Crusade when Billy Graham came to share the gospel to the good folks of Scotland. And faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the word of the Messiah. And then last week we were looking at the fact that we're part of something bigger. That if we trust in Jesus Christ, we are brought in through the Messiah into the promises that God has for the people of Israel, for the Jewish people. We don't supplant them, we don't replace them, we're grafted into those promises. Which means that the scriptures that are there in the Old Testament are for us. That's why we can read the promises in those scriptures and apply them to our lives. And Paul says that makes us like a wild branch that has been grafted into an olive tree, as you can see here in this picture. And by the way, this picture was taken in Nazareth, apparently. That figures in the story somewhere. Then, 2 weeks ago, because we jumped, when we took in our new members, we read those famous verses which you can see up on the front of the balcony, where Paul urges his brothers and sisters to live lives as living sacrifices, that this is your true worship, to present your bodies as living sacrifices. And don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Don't be squeezed into the world's shape. Don't just respond to what's going on around about you by just fitting in. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, Paul says, you'll be able to discern what God's will is. Then you'll be able to think like Jesus, which really helps when you're faced with a world which is challenging. And now we get to Romans 12 continuing. Now, just before we start to do this, have any of you found certain passages in Romans tough to understand? Okay? Hands up if you found that a challenge. Yeah, okay. Right. That's really funny. Some of you are going, no, I didn't find it hard to understand. It was a challenge. It was really hard. Now, remember I told you the Apostle Peter writes that in one of his letters, that Paul's letters are brilliant, but really tough to understand. Yeah. Well, guess what? You're going to understand today's reading just fine. You're all going, yahoo. Really? See, that's the thing. Because the bits of the scriptures that we can understand, boy, they're just like a sugar rush, aren't they? Because something happens immediately and we realize we have to do something about it. So we're going to read this together because I think it encourages ownership and stops you falling asleep. Okay? The Lord may well have a dream for you, but maybe you want to get it later. So shall we read? Okay. Well then, we have gifts that differ in accordance with the grace that has been given to us, and we must use them appropriately. If it's prophecy, we must prophesy according to the pattern of the faith. If it's serving, we must work on our serving. If teaching, at our teaching. If exhortation, at our exhortation. If giving, with generosity. If leading, with energy. If doing acts of kindness, with cheerfulness. See what I mean? Fairly obvious stuff. We will go back over it, but I think you're following. Next one, love must be real. Should we just stop for a moment and do that for 50 years? Just go home? Love must be real. Hate what is evil. Stick fast to what is good. Be truly affectionate in showing love for one another. Compete with each other in giving mutual respect. Don't get tired of working hard. be on fire with the Spirit, work as slaves for the Lord, celebrate your hope, be patient in suffering, give constant energy to prayer, contribute to the needs of God's people, make sure you're hospitable to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless them, don't curse them. Celebrate with those who are celebrating. Mourn with the mourners. Come to the same mind with one another. Don't give yourselves airs, but associate with the humble. Don't get too clever for yourselves. Never repay anyone evil for evil. Think through what will seem good to everyone who is watching. If it's possible, as far as you can, live at peace with all people. Don't take revenge, my dear people, but allow God's anger room to work. The Bible says, after all, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. No. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. If you do this, you'll pile up burning coals on his head. Don't let evil conquer you. Rather, conquer evil with good. Did you get all that? Oh, my goodness me. It's almost like Paul at this point remembers what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount and in the Sermon on the Plain in Luke's Gospel, and just gives a kind of brief interpretation, a précis of what Jesus said in those teachings. And of course, those are the ones we've got written. Jesus did all sorts of other stuff too around this, because many parts of this sound like whom? They sound like Jesus, don't they? In fact, some of them are direct quotes. And one of the lovely things about Paul is we sometimes get things that Jesus said that we don't get in the Gospels. It's better to give than receive, right? Probably Jesus, not in the Gospels, is in Paul. You know that one, right? Because that's a get-out-of-jail-free card if you've just bought a better present for somebody than they gave your kid. Yeah? We've all used that. So, here's what I want to do again. And this time I'm going to read this to you. And I want you to, as I'm reading it through, I want you to find something that latches onto your soul, okay? And once you've got that, it's okay to stop. I'm just going to read it through gently. Because there's something in here for everybody. I can't possibly teach on... There's about 50 sermons in there. But love must be real. Don't repay evil with evil, repay evil with good. It's pretty obvious what's in store there, isn't it? Be on fire with the Spirit. Whatever phrase it is, whatever challenge it is, let the Holy Spirit do his work. So I pray, Holy Spirit, be at work in everybody's lives here. Believers or not believers, disciples, those who haven't decided to let you be Lord yet. I pray everybody will get something out of this. You ready? Okay, let's do it again. Well then, we have gifts that differ in accordance with the grace that's been given to us. We must use them appropriately. If it's prophecy, we must prophesy according to the pattern of the faith. If it's serving, we must work at our serving. If teaching, at our teaching. If exhortation, at our exhortation. If giving, with generosity. If leading, with energy. If doing acts of kindness, with cheerfulness. Love must be real. Hate what's evil. Stick fast to what's good. Be truly affectionate in showing love for one another. Compete with each other in giving mutual respect. Don't get tired of working hard. Be on fire with the Spirit. Work as slaves for the Lord. Celebrate your hope. Be patient in suffering. Give constant energy to prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people. Make sure you're hospitable to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless them, don't curse them. Celebrate with those who are celebrating. Mourn with the mourners. Come to the same mind with one another. Don't give yourselves airs, but associate with the humble. Don't get too clever for yourselves. Never repay anyone evil for evil. Think through what will seem good to everyone who's watching. If it's possible, as far as you can, live at peace with all people. Don't take revenge, my dear people, but allow God's anger room to work. The Bible says, after all, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. If you do this, you'll pile up burning coals on his head. Don't let evil conquer you. Rather, conquer evil with good. What I'd like you to do now is, whatever phrase that was or thought, I want you to scribble it down on your order of service. We gave you a piece of paper today. It has margins, all right? There are women in this place. We have pens. But you may also have a portable digital device, okay? So open up the notepad or send yourself a text message with that on, okay? Unless you've got a phenomenal memory. Time it down. Just give you a moment for that. Some of you are thinking, I need to send this one to somebody. So you're thinking of writing a text message. Not just yet. Leave it for a while. Leave it in the drafts. Now, as usual, you don't have to share. It's not the law. I'm aware there are introverts, and also there's things that need to be kept private. That's fine. But I'm just going to ask you to indicate for each of these four pages if you've written down something which is on this page. All right? And then I may ask you what it is, at which point you can pull your hand down. I won't ask you, I promise. Okay? Has anybody written down something on this page? Okay. And what were the scriptures that you wrote down? What were the bits? Ross? Giving with generosity. Okay? Elizabeth? So with leading with energy, with acts of kindness, cheerfulness, yes. If leading with energy. Any others on this page? Yes, Jackie. Or are you clipping on Mabel? It wasn't on that one. Right, that's fine. Isn't it interesting? There's a wee cluster around here. Anyone else got page one? Yes, Susie. Acts of kindness with cheerfulness. Do you know, it's almost like I read this. It's almost as if Paul knew what it was like, doesn't it? June's like December, if you're a church leader. For some reason, it's all got to get done before the summer. I have moderated two Kirk sessions this week, and neither of them are here. It's just, this week has been insane. And leading takes energy, doesn't it? Here's the thing. All of us have been given gifts in the Spirit. If we trust in Jesus, we've all got gifts. And if you're doing it properly, as Stuart Henderson, the poet, reminded me, you get exhausted. You get cream crackered. Isn't that right? You know you're doing it right if it actually takes energy out of you. And here's often what happens. Remember we were looking at Elijah the other week? And Elijah's on Mount Carmel, and he's just defeated the prophets of Baal. He's overseeing a revival of belief in God and his nation. And Jezebel, he's at a peak. Jezebel threatens him, and he runs away. Why does he do that? Because he was bushed. That's why. And when we're tired, do you know the, by the way, this is for the dads and the mums here. You know the halt thing? That if your kid's kicking off, you check out if they're hungry, anxious, lonely, or tired. Okay, halt. Hungry includes thirsty. Anxious, lonely, tired. Most of the time with my children, if I stop myself and run through that short checklist, instead of taking them off at the knees and using their stumps to club them to death, all right? Instead of doing that, I will actually stop and realize that I have another task to take on. And in response to that, wah, 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 I say, are you needing something to eat? Are you needing a cuddle? Yeah? You got someone to play with? You were late to bed last night. It works for grown-ups too, because grown-ups are just big little ones. We're vulnerable when we're tired. Leading takes energy. And we're vulnerable when we've given out to stop doing the things that God's given us gifts for. So that thing when you're generous, okay? Whoever's responsible for dropping 30 grand in the building fund, that happened in the first week. Hello? One gift, two gifts, three gifts? It could be 30 gifts and 30 of you are punching. Yeah? But it's tempting after that thing. That's me. I'm done for a bit. And do you know what God often does after that? Is you think you've made the big play and he gives you a wee play afterwards just to see how your heart's doing. You bring a big word to somebody, you know, and maybe it's someone in a position, and then God gives you a word for someone who's, you know, it's one of the children, something like that. It's tempting to bail. Where do we go for the energy to work in the gifts that we have? Jesus. And Paul knew that. And he knew that if we just keep serving and we don't get filled, then we'll get discouraged. And the last one, with kindness. Who here can be kind and not cheerful? Come on, where's all the parents? Let's see you. Let's see you, you old torn-faced so-and-sos. There you are. You cook your kid's favorite meal and you put it down, letting go of the plate a half centimeter, quarter inch, above the table so it clatters down, not in a way that will break the plate or disturb the food, but will indicate in that unspoken way to your little versions of you that you are not best pleased, thereby robbing the joy of this kid who's now going to eat their favorite meal as if a sword of Damocles was hanging above their head, ready to puncture their cranium and usher them from this mortal coil. You ever done that? Kezi's laughing because she's going, you've done that, all right? Doors. Whoever knew household doors could be a way of not being cheerful. Okay. By the way, kids do that one too, don't they? And stairs. Sorry if you live in a bungalow, but... Sometimes when I'm feeling particularly lazy, if I'm telling off my kids on another floor, because we live in a block of flats, it's kind of like, right? I'll just say, stop it! And they think I'm coming upstairs. Works every time. Yeah. When they're old enough to figure it out. Who here was on page two? Okay. Kay, what did you write down? Work as slaves for the Lord, right? Elspeth? Sorry? Stick fast to what is good. Be hospitable to strangers. Willie? Be on fire with the Spirit. Kezi? Be patient in suffering. Back to page one. It's kind of like Paul knows what he's talking about, right? Why do you think he needs to tell the church to do this? Because if left to their own devices, what are they going to do? They're not going to be transformed by the renewing of their mind. They're just going to be conformed to the pattern of this world. And they're going to end up with fake love, loving evil, being flaky about goodness, you know, being vaguely tolerant of one another. Isn't that, can I just do that thing at the moment? We think in our 21st century mores that we're amazing, right? That we've kind of moved. We look back and kind of can't believe they believed that or did that. And the abiding virtue of our age is tolerance. You don't read about tolerance much in the Bible. Jesus didn't say, you know, tolerate one another as I have tolerated you. Though listening to many preachers, you might imagine that that would be Jesus on a good day. However, tolerance isn't good enough. It's not good enough. Being fair is not good enough. Do you know this? If people are just fair to each other, then communities will descend. Because if I only give back what I receive from you, it only takes one of us to get a bit meaner, and everybody gets meaner, right? Don't be fair. You're asked to love one another. What does that mean? Lay your lives down for one another. What does that mean? Break the cycle of feuding and hatred. Okay, now where was it? Work as a slave for the Lord. Be on fire with the Spirit. Don't get tired of working out. Oh, help. I've lost my page. Here we go. Yes. Nope, wrong one. Back one. If we're going to be slaves to the Lord, who makes us slaves? Do you know your Old Testament scriptures? Okay. So, in the year of Jubilee, all slaves got freed. However, if that slave wanted to stay a part of the household, they could do. An awl was put through their ear, which might put me off, frankly. And then they'd chosen to remain a slave. Some of you are asking, what's an awl? Just kind of like a teeny-weeny flesh tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. So, some of you are laughing at me now. But that's what makes us a slave. It's really interesting when you read Paul's letters, because he starts off saying, I'm an apostle. He's saying, don't forget, I saw Jesus, and I got commissioned by the apostles. The later letters, he talks about himself being a bond slave, the lowest slave in the household. He says, I'm a slave for Jesus. Well, who decided that should be so? Here's the weird thing about following Jesus. At any time, you can bail. Anytime. Anytime. You can walk away. And so saying work as slaves for the Lord is actually saying consider yourself bound to Him and work on that basis. No get-out clause. Or as John Wimber used to say, no yabbits. If God asks you to do something, what do? You do it. Being patient in suffering as well, that's something you see in Paul's life, and it's a tough thing to do. Constant energy to prayer. Oh man, I felt bad about that one this week. Contribute to the needs of God's people. Hospitality to strangers. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Why would you be hospitable to strangers? Because if you're hospitable to strangers, what do you make? Friends. Friends. I was involved in a nasty car accident at Liberton. I was going to visit someone in hospital, someone who'd been involved in a lot of crazy stuff. He'd been assaulted by his cousin. And there was a chaos around it. And I'm heading into hospital, I get involved in a car accident. And a really nice Muslim gentleman right on the corner there came out, see if we were okay, let me use his phone, back when mobile phones were really expensive. So we didn't have one, just had a pager. That's how you make friends, isn't it? That's how you make friends. That's how you make friends. Hospitality to strangers builds community. And we've got to get used to that because, of course, glory's made up of everybody. Stick to what's good. Amen. Then he gossip. The juicier it is, the worse it is for you. Right. Next up. Who was on page 3? Hang on a minute. Thank goodness that will pass into history as something that's not edgy to say anymore. Yippee. Now, who had one on page 3? Kath, what was your one? Never repay anyone evil for evil. Colin, same. Interesting. Don't get too clever for yourself. Right? Any others? Did anyone else have one to share there? I'm sorry. Bless those who persecute you. Straight from Jesus' mouth, right? Love. A bit of research was done asking people what they thought Jesus had said, and loving enemies was top of the list. Because nobody in history has taught folks to love enemies. How do you love your enemies? How do you love your enemies? I'm telling you, it's a game changer. It is a game changer. But I have to tell you, a lot of Christians have died loving their enemies. I remember listening to Francis Frangipane preaching. He said, do you know how people became Christians in the first century? One of the predominant ways that people became Christians in the first century was watching other Christians die. What do you do when Nero sets about the persecution? Nero, by the way, who's let the Jews back into Rome, he's about to turn on this little church. Some of the people who heard this letter being read to them were arrested and set on fire in Nero's garden. Some of them were thrown to the lions. But if at that moment God gives you grace to say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, that's a powerful witness, is it not? Right. Don't repay evil for evil. Imagine what this world would look like if we actually held to that. Sometimes, I think the Western world kind of lost its way a bit, yeah? There was this guy in, there's this Englishman who invented a massive airship. I mean, it's colossal. I think it's about three times the size of this building, four times the size of this building. And it could carry massive amounts of aid. And because it's an airship, it could land anywhere. So it could get aid anywhere. My favorite bit is that it's almost impossible to shoot down. Because you could shoot stuff at it, but missiles go straight through it. Bullets just go through it. And you just lose a little bit of buoyancy. You don't, you know, you can fly out the way of weather. What could you do with something like that? It can land on water. You could load it at Southampton docks. And I thought, what if instead of investing in munitions, which, you know, I don't want to say too much about that, but why do we have plans for a massive airship that could bring aid anywhere on planet Earth, in the valleys of Nepal, anywhere in Africa? Why don't we invest in that? Because if you feed and clothe people, regardless of their background, and yes, you do need to provide them with security. And anybody who's heard the machine gun preacher talking about that will have been challenged about that. It's not enough just to feed and clothe. We need to be able to provide security for those who are in times of trouble. Why haven't we done that? That would be more effective than all the killing that we could do to try and eradicate that which is coming for us. Yeah? Because if a student in a Nissan Micra can download from the internet how to blow himself up and kill children, we are not going to win this by shooting people. We just aren't. And we'll keep sending our sons and daughters to war, and some of them will come back in body bags. If we can learn to repay evil with good, if we can learn to square up to our opponent and find some way to love them, powerful things happen. And don't get too clever for yourself. Recently, Diane's challenged me about this particular area of our life, which could get very complicated. And she said, I think God's told us to do this. And we did that, and I think we have to do that next. And we're kind of doing the next bit now. And I don't know what the next bit looks like, but I'm learning that for all my brains and degrees and stuff like that, the best thing for me to do is to just shut up and do what I'm told. Yeah? So, husbands, wives, friends, if you're bringing the word of the Lord to someone, very graciously just tell them if they start to think their way out of it, just tell them, look, just shut up and do what you're told, in the name of Jesus. Do you need a hug? Are you anxious? Are you lonely? Are you tired? Now, last page. Any there? Any have a last pager? Kev. Conquer evil with good. Amen. Neil. Live in peace with all people. Yes. Preferably not in a commune. Yes. Oh, that's an interesting one. And how about you? Okay, so feed your enemy. Feed your enemy's thirsty. Anyone else? Yes, Mary. Don't take revenge. So, what you're looking at behind me is a biblical blueprint as to how to do vengeance. Anyone here ever done revenge? Was it funny? Keep your hand up if it was funny. I want to know who to talk to at coffee time. Right. You get some great stories, don't you? You do. You get some great stories. I was youth hostling once, and we had a guy in our dorm. He wouldn't talk to us. He just wouldn't talk to us. We tried to engage him in conversation. So we lovingly took all the boards out of his top bunk. So when he slung himself up, his mattress went 3 feet down in a big hurry. Could have gone either way, actually. But it went the right way. But how we laughed. He talked to us after that. Vengeance can be funny, but I'm talking about the serious, nasty, horrible vengeance that exists in communities, between people groups, between belief systems. Okay? This is a biblical blueprint for how to do vengeance. How do you do vengeance? On a good day, just be nice to them. Be good to them. Love them. I was having trouble with someone once because they were just being difficult. And I sensed God telling me to go to the old Wesley Owen bookshop and buy them a little willow tree thing. And I can't remember the word it said on it, but it was a kind word. And I thought, really? That's my money. But I did it, and it worked out great, okay? Just do something good. What do you do on a bad day? What do you do on a day where it's kind of like, Then you have the Scripture's permission to say, I'm going to be kind to you, but I'm aware that in doing so, you're getting in trouble with a head teacher. Yeah? That's really what it's about. On a good day, just do it out of good motives. On a bad day, well, at least you can say, if I'm good to you, you're going to have to face the music elsewhere. Yeah? Don't conquer evil with evil. You can't conquer evil with evil. You can only conquer evil with good. It's time to finish, but I want to leave you with these four words. Love must be real. Sometimes people tell me that when they visit this church, there's a kind of, you could just sense the warmth as they came in. People say that to me. So I say, well done. Well done, you guys. And hopefully, if you're not a regular here, you experienced that. And if you didn't, I want to hear from you at coffee time, genuinely. But why do people experience that? Why do people experience warmth when they walk into an old sandstone church? Full of misfit people and scruffy cushions. Yeah? Why do they experience that? Because we love one another. We love one another. And on a good day, and it is on a good day, we've got room for anybody that comes through that door. Anybody. Any background. Anyone. We'll love one another. So here's my challenge to you. If you've been around these parts for a long time, when was the last time you spoke to someone you don't know the name of? When was the last time you engaged them in conversation? Got to know them. Found out their kids' names or their background, what they're doing. And if you've only been here a short time, I've got a challenge for you. When was the last time you found someone you didn't know the name of? Found out how they're doing? Found out their kids' names? What's important to them? If you're brand new in the door, I've got a challenge for you. Find someone you don't know the name of. Sit down with them. Find out the name of their kids or, you know, what's important to them. Just sit down with them. We provide. I don't get home sometimes till 2, 2:30 in the afternoon. Why? Because what happens through there is as much part of worship as what happens in here. Why is that? Because we try and love one another, yeah? Because love must be real. There are many things you can fake. That's not one of them. Let's pray.